we're at the end of his arguments regarding the Karoim, and the place that we should turn to is we're in the middle of the Aricha, towards the end of the long piece, which is number Memtes, and it's page 118 in our print. The last thing he discussed is he gave the examples of some things being not logical and nevertheless proven by a person's insight. He mentioned the fact that the globe is round or that ear has a substance to it, etc. And that was his mashal. We're now holding at his last presentation regarding this series of arguments. And next to the last line, V'henk shemidagdikin begvulei hadinim. The Kuzari, when he protested, presented the Karoim, he said two things. The first thing he said was that the Karoim seemed to be into it more than the rest of you. Whatever they do more geschmack. And the second thing he presented was, the fact that when you read the Torah, it sounds like the Karoim are right. And most of the rebuttal had to do with the second argument. Had to do with the argument that, well, it sounds like when you open the Chumash, the Karoim are right. So his rebuttal consisted of a number of points, which basically went around the fact that if everybody's going to figure out take a Sefer Torah and figure out a religion from there, you'll end up with a lot of different religions. And there has to be a Messiah. Even they themselves have to agree to some sort of Messiah and some sort of Gevulim in what they do. He explains an additional point at the end. V'henk shemidagdik and begvulei adinim. He's coming to explain that much of what the Karaites do, that are chumras that they take on, have a certain attraction to them. He explains as follows. V'henk shemidagdik and begvulei adinim. When they take their rules in their halachis, v'yoru aheta v'isr b'amitas adin, and they offer a ruling. They present something as nice, that which is not really nice in those gevulim. What he's saying is that if the Karaites are free to think things up and imagine things on their own, so obviously they're going to be able to present certain things that come across more logically than our Kabbalah, at least at first glance. For gives a few examples. We had this before. If they say if an animal is about to die and you shecht it, kois kois means quickly, quickly shecht, that they say it's improper. There's some logic. It seems to be right. If you can't eat a treifa, you shouldn't be allowed to eat the meat of an animal that's about to die. And they deride Meganim, right? They deride those who eat basa kais kais, that eat basa of an animal about to die. And they also deride hatzos mamin tachpulas hadayanim. A lot of dine maminis, you can make fun of. You can make fun of a lot of things. The example I always give is a barbish or sarabin being pater on kalim. Now certain halachas, which if somebody wants to make fun, he can make fun of. Vatar salicha b'shabis v'tachpulas min ha'erev. Well, allowing to carry on Shabbos, or even to walk on in a tum, with the trick that we call an Erev, so they make fun of that. V'ataras hanoshim b'tachbula sh'anesu'im utarim mehem. They also make fun of certain heterim in Kedushin. If somebody gives a woman Kedushin, it's the example he brings on the bottom, and there are no witnesses, or the witnesses are only relatives. So you have a man, goes over to a lady, says, hurry up, mekudesh, shesliba tabazu, gives her a ring, and the rabbi said, they're not married. They're not married. I had this actually in yeshiva with a chassan who came over to me trembling. His kala revealed to him the day before that at an earlier point in her life, a number of years earlier, there was a vart in their house for her, I guess, her older sibling. And one of their cousins brought her a piece of cake. And she was in her own room. And the cousin brought it in and said, jokingly said, Hari Abu Kadesh, just leave the cake zoo, and gave it to her. And now she's getting married, you know, she's nervous that she's an Eishes Ish, you know, that she's been married for the last couple of years. So I asked him if there was anyone else in the room. He said, nobody. He wouldn't have done it for anybody else. I said, don't worry about it. She's not married. Really? Not married? Even if she wanted to marry the guy, and even if she meant it, she's still not married. There were no witnesses. Now, a person can say, why do you need witnesses off? Someone denies it. You need a witness. Why do you need a witness? So we have an idea of Eidus L'Kiyume, that Eidim can make things happen. But the Karaites don't go for that. The Torah says somewhere that if you're Mekadosh an Isha, she's married. So HaTorah HaNashim B'Tachpula Isha Nesu B'Torah B'Hem B'Matamum with the, so to speak, Menusha of Halacha. HaTorah HaShavuos V'Hanidorim B'Minei HaRamais and being HaTorah Nedarim. HaTorah Nedarim doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash. HaShehem Oivrim Eitzel Ha'iyun Adini Mibilti HaHishtadlo HaToyroyi. Very rich expression, that somebody who examines it halachically will not find anywhere in the Torah itself that he can work it out, that the Torah is the Dara Mizmut. And lemaisi, you need both. You need the Iyun Adini and the Shtadla HaToyroyi. Ki im tiyachid o Iyun Adini yavru begvulav. If you're just going to think about dinim, you'll make mistakes. You can't do one without the other. You need the Torah to guide you, and the Iyun Adini to use it to following the rules. So this is his last point, that sometimes what the Karaites does seems to go with a bigger brand, a bigger cheshik. Yeah, because they're free, they're not tied down by any rules, or by limited rules, and therefore a lot of what they say, they seem right when they make fun of things. And we sit down and we're done, like David HaMelech says, you know, I'm a king and I get my hands bloody with the blood of a shvir and a shilya to be matir, a woman to a husband. So Karaites would say, why are you making yourself crazy? You're examining the blood closely, for what reason? Why? If you just look in the Chumash, it's not so complicated. So that, he's saying, is the fact that the Karaites have a certain cheshik is an outcome of being free to say things the way you want, or the way things seem attractive. So this is the end of his presentation regarding the Karaites. Along the way, besides talking about the Karoim, he gives us chizuk in the manner in which Torah works. The idea that that we have the Messiah, the Gevulin of Messiah. I think maybe one of the most important points he made in these last 10 or 15 pieces is the idea that even though it seems to us like everything's a machlaikis, the idea that it's not really so, that the background or the root, the foundation, is not a machlaikis. We don't argue with Mishnayis, we don't argue with Gemara. Machlaikis is going forward we have new clairs and new things to be mined into. But the foundation is solid and is not a machlaikis issue.
As far as the arguments, which do you think was the most powerful argument against what the Karoim had?
I'm a technical person. When you tell me there have to be rules, it resonates with me. It doesn't resonate with teenagers. The idea that there have to be rules is something that when you're living your life, you're like, well, why do I have to be bound by a rule? Let me just do whatever seems the right thing to do and go from one thing to the next. People don't realize, when people complain about the, so to speak, minutia of halacha, they don't realize that every legal system in the world that's practical has to have rules. There has to be a rule that if you park up to a certain number of feet from a fire hydrant, you get a ticket, and more than that, not. Now, no sane person can tell you why it matters. I don't know how many feet is it from a fire hydrant. I don't even know. Let's say it's 8 feet. Whatever it is. Let's say it's 50 feet. No sane person can tell you what's the difference, 14 feet 11 inches or 15 feet 1 inch. Obviously, there's no difference. But without rules, you can't have laws without rules. And that idea is it's a fundamental thing. And it's what the Maskila made fun of. A lot of Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem had a play in which a woman's life was turned upside down over a kutzei shel yud in a get, which was really not even halachically true. But he said that the sofer made the yud wrong, And therefore, when she remarried, the remarriage was invalid. His making fun of halacha was based on making a mistake in the get with a kutzer shayur, and then that was one of his plays. So the idea is that things have rules, and that's all. A computer is the best example. By me, nothing works with a computer. Zero. I know. I had to make a ticket to be at Israel for a day or two. So I had to set up a ticket, and I think it's $25 more if you call somebody, you do it on the computer. I did it on the computer, and finally I called the call center for El Al. So they told me, you made 3 tickets. I said, what, 3 tickets? I said, you have 3 tickets for the same flight, all on your name. And isn't that amazing? I told them you could cancel the 2 more expensive ones and leave me. He said, no, you got to do the first one. And then I asked him why my Matmid number didn't go in. He said, because you have to leave off the last number. I said, why in the world do I have to leave off the last number? Does it make any sense? You got to leave out the last number when you enter your Matmid number.
Okay.
He said, it said it. Where did it say it? In the writing. I said, yeah, there's 2 paragraphs of writing. So, but there are rules, it doesn't work. The computer, it just doesn't work. And that's that. And,
good marshal.
The computer is a very good marshal. Very frustrating. I told the fellow when I started that I'm over 50 and I don't get along with the computer and you're going to have to help me. And that guy was a nice person, because imagine I would have ended up with a credit card statement with 3 tickets. So I don't know, but Anyway, of all the arguments, that's the argument. The argument is there have to be rules. You can't have a religion where you do whatever seems right. You do whatever seems right, you end up with liberals and conservatives, you end up everybody, pushing his own agenda. It's bad enough with the rules, without the rules, it's fine.
But it seemed that from what he said, that from the Torah itself, you have to have a Masorah because you wouldn't know anything about tefillin, that's like a really powerful.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there have to be rules, and even the Karis themselves had to agree to certain rules.
You don't call Minhagim rules, do you?
No, because Minhagim, by definition, are things that are not inherently obligatory. They're obligatory because we accept it in ourselves rather than. So even Minhagim have boundaries. The Magen Avraham says a Minig doesn't have a Din Minig unless it has a source in an earlier Sefer. He talks about banging by Haman. He says, banging by Haman it's not a minig. It's a cultural thing that Jews do. But it doesn't have a power of minig in halacha, because there's no pesach who says he's supposed to bang by Haman. It's just the nice things we do. One of the nice things we do, and that's his general. Okay, Omer Kuzari. Kivan Shadavar Kein, and he made the Rabbane. I agree that with the rabbis that there are 2 parts, which is more than the Karaim agreed to. One binira, and one ubinistar, that which is obvious and that which is hidden. And if a person has the nira and the nistar together, he can delve into Torah. So it comes with from honest, wise men, whose wisdom comes from God. He's saying something interesting here. The Kuzari says that the Karaite is never sure that he's right. Somebody who has a Messiah can feel certain that what he's doing is correct. The Karoi, who allows things to follow his own logic without the limitations of rules. So, Mashetakia lo yitav liba, he can never really feel really good about him. His astadlus is logic and comparisons. He never knows that's what God meant. And if he feels to come to one conclusion, he knows many others come to a different conclusion. Avol, he says, but, there's always a but. This whole book has a but. I have one thing that does bother me. Be'eriv. I don't understand this Eriv business. Who callous b'mitzvah Shabbos? It's You know, you can't carry, bang, you put up some strings, and bang, you can carry on Shabbos. He kalos b'mitzvah sa Shabbos. Ech yati amasha osra abayre b'tachbula hi hanikla v'apchusa. How can you permit that which God prohibits with this lightweight, inferior way of doing it? He says, the Erev bothers me. Okay, so let's see how he deals with the Erev. Not Aleph.
He's right. I mean, we don't rely on the Erev except on a Shuster Abdur Rabbanan, right?
Oh, so that's a piece of his answer. Okay, he actually in his answer explains two things about the Erev, both of which are true. First, he's explaining Erev Chatzeres, as Reb Chaim says. There are two parts to an Erev. There's the string, which is, in effect, a wall. And there's the Erev Chatzeres, which permits people to carry where? From one Rishasayach to Rishasayach. I want to explain this to you, because he explains it. It's just the idea. The Torah only prohibits carrying from Rishasarab to Rishasayach, or the reverse. The definition of Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaYachid has zero to do with ownership. It has only to do with walls. Walls. Rishus HaYachid has walls, Rishus HaRab doesn't. Zero to do with ownership. In fact, there's a perception that Rishus HaRab is a public domain, and Rishus HaYachid is a private domain. The Rabbanan said that because there's such a perception, we asked the Rabbanan carrying from one person's property to another. In other words, if you live in an apartment house, somebody wants to carry from one apartment to another apartment, they are walls. You're not allowed to carry without an Erev Chatzeres. An Erev Chatzeres is done by matzis, by ochalas, by placing. So the first thing he explains is that permission to carry of an Erev Chatzeres is only in something that's not really Yosem in HaTorah. Let's see. Amar HaChavar, Chas V'Sholem, Sheskimu HaMayin Chasidim V'Chachamim, that all the righteous and wise men would agree on Mashiyati or Keshem Mekishri HaTorah, to untie something that the Torah binds us. Achei Mizarzim V'Imrim Asusi Agla Torah. The contrary, our Mesorah is to make put up a protection against the rules of the Torah. Minasa Yogos Siyagu, among the Drabbanas that they set up, Sha'asu Haitza V'Achnasam Shiyachus Shusirahem Ubehepach Mashaliyasu Zehatayr. Chazal forbade carrying in certain instances where the Torah permits it. Within the Drabbanan, they follow it up with a leniency. That there should be a way to get around this which the Rabbanan asked, but it has to be done in the Rishus, in the way that Chazal permitted it. HaRishus hu asay sa'ariv, k'dei shetia hakara bein amutu legamri, bein asur, bein asiyag. So that there should be a way to be able to carry. So the way the Oitzer Nechman explains, first he's explained the Erev Chatzeres, the matzis that we put out to allow carrying even two neighbors. The Liebers had a simcha, and Baruch Hashem, they have a large family, couldn't fit everyone in their house, they put people in the neighbor's house. They had to carry a baby from the neighbor to them. So I went down to the house, we had to create a door, there was a gate separating the two properties. So we had to create an opening, so we went to the backyard. And there's a fence, and part of the fence was stripped away and rolled back, created an opening. And the matzahs were taken to permit carrying. So that permitting of carrying is to permit something which the Torah permits. They're upon an asterisk, but they allowed within certain guidelines. And what did they gain if they prohibited and permitted? They gained that no one's going to come to carry from Shusarabim to Shusayachim. Because we have rules about how you're allowed to carry from one rishus to another, even by a drabbanan. Now, he didn't explain the string part. He explained the Erev Chatzeres. And the Yetzir Nechman explains that that's what bothers the king here in Nun Beis. Amar HaKuzari, Kfar Hispik Lizeh. All right, I get it. Avoloi Choske Atzli Melechas HaEriv Atshidim Mechaberes Mishtei Rishuyas. But I don't get the Melechas HaEriv, which he touches to mean the physical a string or kara and lechi, which permits carrying. And how does that string actually permit, it could even permit a daraisa, how does that work? And so Thursday night, we'll get together again. We're going to deal with the string. So we get a little of everything in this book. You know, you get a little philosophy, a lot of philosophy, and some astronomy, and language.
It doesn't say Thursday.
I know it doesn't, but I'll be a God willing on Thursday. So I'll be a Mitzvah Shalom Thursday.